Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Janice Hartley of Keefe Real Estate, your lakefront and lakes area real estate specialist. Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better. Braden Dental, two generations of dental care, downtown Lake Geneva.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Honey, remember, he's your father and he loves you.
You have sired 533 children.
Are you gonna be a good boy for your father?
This man right here, he's like your father.
You're gonna be an awful father.
Oh, I love you, you freaking son of mine.
You're not my dad. You can't tell me what it's about.
Dad, can you put your shirt on?
We haven't done a very good job Father's Day.
Daddy has the entire day off.
Dad's getting drunk.
You never wear any of your Father's Day gifts.
I guess I've learned a little something about what it means to be a good dad.
That was a nice montage.
It sure was. With the help of Madonna with Papa Don't Preach.
I heard Homer Simpson in there quite a couple times, though.
Are you a Simpsons fan?
You know, no. It's not that I'm not a fan. I just was never into it.
I never started watching it. I'll catch maybe a little bit of this episode or whatever here or there, but I'm not either. But obviously, hugely popular.
Oh my gosh!
Obviously.
Isn't it like one of the longest running series or something?
Yes,
series.
How was your night last night?
Whoa!
Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the fathers, all the moms that are dads, all the dads that are dads, all the dads that are moms, just all of
the stepdads. Everybody.
Stepdads are the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep,
they step in.
Yeah. Exactly. Got it. I do. Yeah. I have a question for you in regard, and this could go back to Mom's Day too, but as far as Father's Day, do you buy a gift for Ty? Then did he buy you a Mother's Day gift?
I can't remember if he did or not.
Well, do you guys
so much trouble when I get home? Oh my God, I can't remember. No, I think that my gift for this Mother's Day was that everybody left me alone.
I think so too.
That's the perfect gift for me is silence.
So do you buy Ty a gift on Father's
Day? You know what
Day?
I did, and he promptly gave it away.
Did he really?
I told you the air conditioning story from last week, did I not?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he got another one, though, by the way.
Oh, did he? Good.
He did. He brought it home the other day.
Good job, Ty.
Yeah, I gave him an air conditioner early because the part of the house that he likes to sleep in was extremely hot, and we don't have central air in this mm-hmm. house. And so I bought another window unit and said, this is your early Father's Day present. I know it's been a nightmare, and this summer it's just all of a sudden gotten really hot. And then he went out of town for the weekend, and they were going to camp in the big trailers, the box trailers that we have. And he took the window air conditioner out of the window. This could qualify for don't even get me started, too, by the way.
You're
because
right.
He took the air conditioner unit out of the window, went down, did the camping and stuff, and then left it in the box trailer down in Indianapolis.
Oh,
and
my
I'm like,
gosh.
You know.
It was so hot and
I
humid.
I bought this
for
you, and then you just promptly don't care about it.
He traveled with it. It's like
it's not
traveling
a traveling air conditioning unit. It's going in the window. Then for the new one, he's like, well, I'm going to need your help putting it in. And I said, you do realize that the other one I did all by myself. I didn't need any help. Well, how did you not drop it out of the window? Well, you
anchor it in there and they have...
Well, you put it in there correctly and it doesn't fall out.
Right.
Like How do you drop it out the window? Like, I don't even understand that. You just...
So I had to do it again.
So he got a Father's Day present, one that I bought him and then one that I made him buy.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, don't even put that on my credit card.
No, don't.
That's good. That's your problem. I already bought one.
Right.
Yeah,
you're
so that was not a good day.
Mm-mm.
No. You know, he knows it's not going to be a good evening for him when I don't speak. Like, you want me to yell at you because then I get it out and I'm done and it's over with and we've gotten the fight over with and we're done with it.
Silent treatment.
Bad.
Guys hate that.
Because then I'm just percolating.
Right. I know. Percolating. Mm-hmm. It's a good word.
Yeah.
It is. Like, you're,
you do
like
not.
You're simmering and then it's percolating all of a sudden and then it's...
You do not want me to crockpot my feelings. Let me just tell you something. You just want me to get it out and boil over like pasta, okay? Because it's much easier and quicker. It hurts
I'm
less.
I'm so sorry. I feel bad now for Ty because I'm sure that you guys had made up, and now I'm bringing all of this back
to
the forefront on Father's Day, nonetheless.
Everybody's mad at you. Now I'm mad at Ty. Oh, my God.
Gosh. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's going to be a great day.
we don't die from heat stroke, for God.
Like, no kidding.
I'm not complaining. I love the heat.
I do too.
I love the heat. I have to soak it up and make it last me all winter. Like, I had long underwear on last week at points in time. I'm just not good. I hate the cold.
Yeah.
But so this 90 degrees, hey, I'm whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Burn, you know, boil me. I don't care.
I love the heat as well.
Yep.
Although it would be different though if I was working outside.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, obviously.
I'd be very careful. It's a health issue.
Right.
Yeah, so
for sure. But I'm ready for the heat.
Well, and everybody's enjoying themselves this weekend. I mean, it's been such a good Father's Day weekend mm-hmm. to celebrate and stuff. So I'm all for it. That's what summer and June and July and August are for.
Exactly.
But no, this is going to be a good show. We're going to talk to Renee Wilging this morning. She's coming up next. And then a very timely interview with Ted Pankow, the executive director, king of the Water Safety Patrol. He doesn't like it when I call him that.
He doesn't.
I call him that anyway.
And, well, I call him our news director here.
Oh, that's right. He is our news director.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
If you're headed out to the beach today, you know, could see him or.
Try
some
not
of
to
his...
see him, though, yes. Because he's
right.
All about safety. And if you don't see him, that means you're being safe.
Mm-hmm.
If you do see him, that means don't get on Ted's list either.
No,
yeah,
don't
get on mine. Don't get on Ted's.
And everything will be good. Just like today's show.
Just like today's show. Let's move forward with today's show,
Let's
shall
do.
We? Coming up next, Renee Wilging from Hendricks Wilging Insurance right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back to Life Matters on this Father's Day morning. So, okay, Melody's got, first of all, Renee Wilging joins us from Hendricks Wilging Insurance. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think you'll find this funny, but the entire staff is mad at Melody
they
right
are.
Now.
I think that's hilarious.
My feelings are hurt.
No, no.
The other day.
Everybody's feelings.
The other day, she told them all that it was Walk Sideways Day.
National so Walk Sideways
National.
Day. So that's a big deal.
National
yeah.
Walk mm-hmm. Sideways Day. And so they all walk sideways all day. And it was not.
So, and I forgot to tell them. I was actually... until the next day. And I said, oh, wait a minute, you guys. I have something to tell you. And I probably shouldn't have done that, but I don't know. I did.
I think it's hilarious.
I admitted it, and now everybody's upset with me.
Except for me.
Except for, yeah.
And me, and I don't work here, but I think it's hilarious.
I think it's hysterical.
Know? Yeah, and I would have loved to steal that one. Should be Nick.
Monday's going to be Bald Bob for Apples Day or,
yeah,
something.
Or something.
Like, we're
yeah,
going to have
you
him
gotta
do
throw something else at him.
Uh-huh.
You got to wait a little while. Let this thing right. pass. And then throw another one at him, like in a month. You
it's
know?
A great April Fool's Day joke for not being April Fool's
but
Day.
But you're on guard on April Fool's Day. This just came out of the blue.
It
I just
did.
Think.
It just.
Why did you? Well, because she like stepped sideways a couple of times and then
yeah,
said, oh, it's.
Sideways. Yeah,
yeah, it's National Walk Sideways Day.
Why did you
everybody
step
was
sideways?
Like, oh, cool. And they started doing it.
I was over talking to somebody and just the desks are very close to each other, and so I just like stepped sideways. I'm like, hey, you guys, it's Step West Sideways Day. So then everybody got up and started walking
Lord.
Sideways.
Maybe you need to bring donuts or something in.
Mm,
yeah.
Well, I probably should do
they
that.
They should
next
be less gullible.
Still,
I agree. I agree.
It's just because she's so sweet and innocent 99.999% of the time, and then she throws one in there like that, and they're upset because they fell for it for one,
and it came out so smoothly.
And it came out so smoothly. And
I was very
proud of yourself.
I am very.
I think you
should,
instead of feeling bad about it, you should just kind of pat yourself on the back.
Thank you, Renee.
That was a good one.
Nobody would ever suspect her of doing so, of tricking them, because she's never like that. And so,
I don't know.
It was even better.
I get my husband quite a few times. Quite a few times.
She gets me once in a while. Definitely. But
it's way more fun than my office.
Yes.
If you only knew. Yeah, this is what people have said. Why don't you have you could have a camera in the studio. No.
No. Sometimes you guys do. On Facebook, I see when the animals come in.
Oh,
well,
yes,
yeah, but that's because we're trying to do good and adopt animals.
It's when we're not on the air.
It's when we're not on the air.
The candid stuff, yeah, you really don't need. No.
People are like, are you kidding me? Look what they're doing now.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they ever get any work done?
Yeah. No.
Which the thing is that we
this
get a
is
lot
work.
Of
this
work
is your
done,
work,
and it's our way of kind of blowing off steam sometimes. It's
absolutely.
Just being goofy. And Dave Michaels used to run through the office like a, what was it? A velociraptor.
Oh, my gosh. I was totally picture him doing that.
One of my favorite things ever in my life is Dave running through the office like a velociraptor.
With his little hands?
Yeah.
And, yeah,
he's jumped up on the desk before, like... You know, remember them? And he also did the monkey in Saturday Night Live where what's that monkey's name?
Oh my gosh. What was his
monkey in Saturday
Night? He's probably going to kill me. He's going to call me later and be like, "Stop talking about me. I'm not your husband."
Oh, yeah. That's just going to drive me crazy. The guy that
the monkey guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
everybody
I remember
knows.
That.
Where and he'd pick things
mango.
Off of you and eat it. Mango? I don't know.
I think it was mango.
I don't know.
We can look it up on the break and find out because
absolutely.
People will be, or somebody will text me or call me, I'm sure. But yeah, so it's, yeah. So
yeah,
sometimes we do some really weird
I know. It's so much fun here.
That's like the weirdest thing she.
Yeah, if that's.
It wasn't weird. It was just good.
It was just
sneaky and good. It was, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody, but it's just
And then
hilarious.
We were walking sideways, and then Julie was, we were doing squats while we were walking sideways, and then we decided to add Kegel exercises in with that. So we got a good workout in.
Okay, then. Okay.
You know, women, we know. You need to do your Kegels.
You got to do those. Yeah,
it's important.
You must.
Hey. What was
anyway.
The Dr. Ruth?
Was it her? No, it was
that
other
not
one.
That's not this show.
It was a different one that did that one. There was another woman, not Dr. Ruth, that... that was all about that stuff.
I don't know. But anyway, can we ensure practical joking?
Sure. It's all, you're liable for everything. You know, you're covered. I mean,
might need
the actions
insurance.
Of one employee causing harm to another employee is definitely covered. Right. Yeah. That workers' compensation is for that employer's liability. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Well, nobody got hurt walking sideways the other day. So
well, they could come back and say that they felt that their office was now...
A hostile environment.
It's always been a hostile environment
in days. There's a lot. Listen, there's a lot of women in this office. It could be hostile.
Right.
We can turn from zero to hostile in 6 seconds. So.
Exactly. We leave the building, it still could be hostile.
Yeah.
So. It's 2 a.m. Building
I'm
is hostile.
I'm the only woman in my office now, and it gets pretty hostile. Because
I understand
they
that.
Have to listen to me. Just listen. I mean, and if I'm in a bad mood, then they have to listen.
We're just trying to get things done,
right?
Is all and more
exactly.
efficient.
We can
hostile.
Multitask, and they cannot. So,
right.
In the meantime, summer's here.
Summer's
You're
here.
You're awfully tan, by the way. I just want you to know.
Well, you know, people have been really saying tan. That. I don't know why. Well, you know, what was it? Memorial Day weekend. It was like 100 degrees out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sat in the water. I didn't leave. I just sat in the water. Because we're up at the cabin, and I just sat in the water.
That's what we're doing this weekend. I should
Are
be
you?
In the water right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, hurry up. No.
Okay. Insurance. Yay. Got to pay it. Got to do it. Okay. Okay. Let's go.
Let's do. What's your phone number?
Okay.
Thanks for being here.
Sure. Okay.
They love
the,
you.
The odds of Life Matters being less than an hour.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So slim. Don't put your bets on that. So... But no, summertime, what are we?
Well, the one of the things, big thing that's been coming up the last 2 weeks are talking about independent contractors. And I know we've talked about them before, but so many people are having people work on their house. And they're calling me either. I've got the homeowners calling me saying, you know, what should I do? I'm hiring this guy. I must make sure that they present to you a certificate of insurance showing that they've got workers' compensation and liability. And if they come back to you and they say, well, I'm a sole proprietor. I'm all by myself. I've got no employees. I don't have workers' comp. Just know that you could be responsible for them falling off the roof or getting hurt on your premises. No, they're not required to carry it, but that does not mean that they can't come after you if they fall off the roof. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, just make sure that, you know, who you're, you know, don't, make sure it's a local company. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's, you know, we've talked about this with all the wind and hail storms. We've got, you know, storm chasers that come through and some of them are very good, but some of them, you can't get a hold of them 6 months from now, you know, when you're having a leaky roof or your siding is falling off or whatever. So we've got great, great companies here locally that you just ask for them to provide you with a proof of insurance.
And you know what? It's the same thing with tree. It's not just, it's tree companies.
Tree companies.
It's asphalt, paving. It's all of that. And, you know, when they give you their card.
Right.
And the area code isn't 262-414.
Sure,
even
right.
The Northern Illinois area codes.
Right, 847
and
right.
815. If it's not, or 608 because of Janesville
right.
and everything. If it's not one of those local area codes adjacent to our community.
Right.
Red flag.
I mean,
it's simple stuff,
right.
you know.
Well, and then a lot of people say, well, I went to the Better Business Bureau. I didn't see anything negative on them. Well,
but did you see anything?
Pretty much. Because
right.
you got to look that a lot of businesses really don't use the BBB like we used to. Like in the olden days, 20 years ago. Because
they're like a phone book. It truly is.
Yeah. You really don't use them. It costs money to be part to have good... you know, things coming back from mm-hmm. them. So a lot of businesses choose to spend their money in other ways. Social media. Social media is kind of your bigger tool lately than the BBB. And not to take any credit away from them, but sometimes you'll look up there and that should not be your only resource. You should mm-hmm. check references, check social media, check, you know, the BBB, but you need to check everything.
You were gonna ask.
Yes, I know that. Well, I think it was Tom the other day that said that in his neighborhood, there was quite a few people walking through, knocking on their doors and asking about their roof and hail damage and that type of thing. So, if during that initial knock and you open up your door and there's, you know, and they tell you who they are, is that when you say, "Hey, let's see your, you know, credentials. Let's." How do you go about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's when you really, in my opinion, insurance not related, but most good roofers and contractors are not going door to door.
Right.
They're so slammed right now because they're good, they're reputable, they get the job done, they get mm-hmm. a job done right. You don't see them normally going door to door. So that's going to be my flag first.
Well, you know, Janice Hartley talks about this. If you call a real estate agent and they're really, really good at it, they're not available in 15 minutes.
Right, right.
Because they have to, okay, and that's okay.
Right, and that's okay, right.
And the same thing with roofers and tree guys and these home and, you know, these home improvement things. If you call and they say, oh, yeah, we can start tomorrow, that's a problem.
Right,
okay?
It usually doesn't happen.
That is a problem.
Unless
right.
they brought in another crew from another, like if it's a statewide
type
company. Right.
Or something.
They
right.
might bring other crews in from other parts of the state because... You know, Lake Geneva got hit and got hit hard.
Sure.
So they're going to bring in, you know, extra people, extra crews to try and get people taken care of. That's awesome.
But they're not knocking on doors.
They are bringing
those crews in because they already have the business.
Right. Exactly. So I kind of have to question that and not that, you know, when somebody is starting out with their business, obviously they're going to be trying to drum up business. I'm just not.
More
I just
than
don't.
Likely it's.
It's more than likely not going to be what you're going to want it to be. Right, exactly. And just because your neighbor's house got their roof replaced because there was hail damage mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you have enough on your roof, okay, just because they did. Because the insurance company is going to go up there. And if you have only like two little splotches of hail where only a couple hail mm-hmm. things hit you, the insurance company is not going to pay. That's just cosmetic. That's mm-hmm. not causing any structural issues.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They're not going to go up there and replace it. So what I always tell people is when you do have your adjuster come out there and take a look at your roof, have your contractor with them. your local contractor with them. They will go up there together and talk about it. So then now when they come down, you're talking to your contractor and you're talking to your adjuster. So you're getting both sides of the whole situation. You understand what needs to be done. You're talking to all the parties involved in the claim right then and there, and you can move on and things can get taken care of much quicker.
Is there this might be a dumb question, but is there a statute of so-called limitations on, say, roof damage? If you don't really think your roof was damaged, but then a few months down the road, it's like, you know what?
Well, you're maybe okay. There's a leak or something. Yeah. You're okay with making a claim later, because especially with roof damage. I mean, we don't go up on roofs where we know all the time. The problem is, You want to make sure that you know kind of the date, because these insurance companies, they now, you know, are in tune. They've got a program where they can tell you when a storm system came over and came over your area where you live. So if I say it happened May 2nd and we report it into the insurance companies May 2nd, they pull up their software or whatever they use and it says there was no storm in the area that day. So, you know, that's the only hard part, is trying to pinpoint what day it happened. And now we have to prove to the insurance company that this didn't happen 5 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because then we have a problem.
Well, and then the other issue, you've always said, you know, there's an issue of if your roof was in disrepair, then, you know, like severe disrepair, and then got hit by a storm. You know, that's questionable, too, because you weren't doing what you were supposed to do.
You have to do your due diligence, definitely. If you have a roof and that's why a lot of insurance companies are going back and rechecking homes. They want to make sure these roofs are in good repair. If they're not in good repair, they're going to come back to us as the agent and say, we need to change the loss settlement value on that roof, which means we can either go, you repair it, and we'll keep giving you replacement costs on your roof, which means we will replace the damaged portion of that roof. Or they'll go down to actual cash value and they'll do the depreciated value. Well, the depreciated value of a 20-year-old falling apart roof is $5. If it goes down to the actual cash value and it's an old dilapidated roof, you're not going to get anything. And that's the insurance company saying, hey, take care of your business. You need to make sure you maintain your property. Your insurance policy is not made for maintaining your property. So,
yeah, you have to take part.
You do have to take part.
Right.
Right. You know, I've got insureds, you know, where, same with clean your gutters. You know, I mean, we talked about this so many times. Make sure your downspouts are pulling away. You're going to get that hydrostatic pressure into your basement, and it's not covered. So, you know, you need to make sure you do your own due diligence. Your insurance policy is not made for maintenance, you know, so that's really important. The other thing I want to talk about is on contractors on the other side. I've had a lot of them calling lately saying, well, I've got independent contractors. I've got a bunch of independents that work for me. I sub out. So I'm working on a roof and I picked up five guys and they're all going to be independent contractors. I 1099 them, and so they don't need work comp or anything like that. Well, that means you, as a general contractor, you are now acting as a general contractor. These guys are, by definition, even though you're 1099 in them and you're calling them an independent, and they're calling themselves an independent, that does not make them an independent. There's 9 points that they have to meet by definition to be an independent contractor. And normally when you have a contractor that picks up some 1099 employees, that they're paying them directly, not the homeowner paying them or not the business paying them, they are not independent contractors. They are really employees, and you are responsible for their work comp.
We went through this one time. We had an independent contractor that was an outside salesperson for us.
Sure.
And I met those 9 things, but they came in because when he left, he wanted to collect unemployment. And I was like,
you're an independent contractor.
You are an independent contractor. And so they did an audit and everything, and they came back and said, yeah, she covered everything she was supposed
to
cover.
Got to have the 9 points. And it's not not some of the 9 points. You have to hit all of them. And some of them are can the guy make a profit or a loss?
Mm-hmm.
No. If you're hiring a guy and you're saying, I'm going to use you as an independent contractor, and for this job, I'm going to pay you, you know, $15 an hour. And that's what you see a lot. I'm going to pay you $15 an hour cash because I don't want to worry about payroll. I don't want to have to worry about unemployment tax and all that kind of stuff. So this is the way we're going to do it. Happens all the time.
Right.
Is that person really an independent contractor? No, that person is truly an employee.
Okay, so then, though, if that person gets hurt, is the
general
contractor responsible?
Yes.
Or does the homeowner need to also
The general is responsible. What if the general says, I'm all by myself, I don't have a work comp policy? So you as a homeowner should have been due diligent in hiring the general in the first place that has work comp. And
oh, that's why
otherwise they're homeowners. Otherwise, you know, it's all going to fall back on the homeowners. Mm-hmm. So when you're hiring somebody, don't just look at the guy you're hiring. Look at the guy you're hiring and then, mm-hmm. you know, moving on. If the guy you're hiring says, I'm a one-man guy and, you know, so I don't have workers' compensation, he can come after you. But then look, all of a sudden he shows up to do the job and he's got 15 guys with him so they can get it done right away. Go, what's going on? Oh, no, they're all independents. They're not all independents. They can't, you know, they're not. Yeah. So
I mean, there's things like you have to have an office at your house. Like there's
It's pretty. Yeah. You have to the federal ID number. Mm-hmm. You have to have. Yeah. You have to be listed as a business. You have. I mean, mm-hmm. it's
you can't just hire the teenager down the street and say he's an independent contractor. And I'm talking 19. Even 15.
You know, you've got to remember
do that anyway. But
you have your next door neighbor. You pay them $30 to mow your lawn every week. You just know if that person gets hurt, you are responsible right. as your homeowners. And your homeowners policy will respond to that. Mm-hmm. You know, babysitter gets hurt on premises. You know, your homeowners will respond to that, that it's fine. But when you hire somebody, there's a level of professionalism that you need and you expect from these people that you're hiring. And don't just take their word for it. Documentation. You need that as a homeowner.
And the thing is in today's uber litigious society.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You better protect yourself because it won't necessarily be a, you know, that they would file a claim against you and you would, it'll be all the legal fees.
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
And that's why
that will cost you.
You get exactly. into personal umbrella policies. You know, I mean, you know, normally somebody with like, you know, a standard size home and one car and, you know, they don't have any kids, they don't have a pool, they don't have anything. Do they need an umbrella? Yeah, for things like this. You know, mm-hmm. an umbrella is $120 a year, and that's going to help you because you've got your, say, $300,000, $500,000 on your homeowner's policy. That's going to be gone in legal fees. Right. I mean, in something that happens that you've got to fight them. Then at least you've got that $1 million over and above it that can protect your assets that you've worked so hard for your mm-hmm. whole entire life.
Oh, right. So true.
So it's such cheap protection and peace of mind. And definitely, you have situations where a lot of companies, if you buy an umbrella costs $125, whatever, the auto in the home comes down like 15%. Hmm. So truly that $125 premium is really probably only 70.
Right.
So you're really, it's really not costing you even what you think it is.
It's going to cost you so much more if you don't have
it. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, so definitely. Right. Definitely.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is.
And the savings is incredible. Renee, so it goes without saying,
talk to your agent.
Yeah, and our water toys all need to be insured and everything. Any questions, they can call you. How do they get in touch with you?
They can get a hold of me at 262-742-4029.
Awesome.
Thank
you, ma'am.
Thank
you. No problem. People need to think about that. Super, super hard. It's, you know, anybody that comes on your property, you could be liable for.
Well, you are liable. Yeah. I mean, everybody, you know, you will be. Just talk to your agents.
Talk
to your agent.
Renee's a talker.
Talk.
Give her a call.
Yeah, but I don't walk sideways.
Renee.
Well, that's a plus.
Renee Wilging from Hendricks Wilging Insurance Company. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next month, right?
Thanks. Okay. Hey, happy Father's Day.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Tell Mikey happy Father's Day, too.
I will, definitely.
You're listening to Life Matters. Coming up next, Ted Penka with the Water Safety Patrol on some water safety tips. We'll be right back here on Life Matters on Lake 96.1. Well, tis the season. The swimming season.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You guys have a big summer, beginning of summer celebration, don't you, on the morning show? Or actually, you guys are going to do it all day Thursday?
We are. Thursday, the first day of summer, well, it actually starts. And so we are going to go ahead and have a parking lot party.
Awesome.
Inviting everybody to swing by early in the morning and grab a donut, say hi, and we'll feed you. We're part of the 96 days of summer.
That's cool. You're going to be giving some prizes away too, and then there's stuff going on all day long. And I'm betting this guy's going to stop by, Ted Pankow, the like king of the Water Safety Patrol at this point. Yeah.
Well, director officially.
Okay.
Director.
Director.
And our news guy.
Yes. Afternoon news. Ted does afternoon news for us as well. So everybody's out there on the water. It's been a really super hot weekend. Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Father's Day.
Yes. And so just give us the basics. I mean, you know, we were talking a little off the air about life jackets. I am super anal about life jackets because mm-hmm. a lake versus a pool is just a completely different set of conditions. And you said sometimes, but maybe not. And so, you know, it just depends on the person. I'm obviously, I just am super weird about it.
Well, we're obviously big proponents of people wearing life jackets when they're in or around the water. Obviously, if you're going to be on a boat, boats are required by law to have one for every person on the boat. Swimming from a beach is a little different story. I mean, most people do not wear life jackets when they're swimming at a beach. You know, if they're jumping off the pier or whatever, some people do, but it's not all that common at a beach setting. But it's something, you know, certainly for small kids. If you have small kids at the beach, I would recommend having a life jacket on them at all times. You should be watching them, obviously, but you never know. A couple of seconds is all it takes for them to disappear out of sight. And
you know, I think one of the most nerve-wracking jobs on the planet would be being a lifeguard and having all of those people, you know, because, I mean, how can you watch and know that, you know, there was a group of 10 kids right there kind of playing, and then you swept and looked across and went back, and now there's only nine? Like, I would just be terrified of that job because I don't.
You're right.
It is a huge responsibility to be a lifeguard. And one of the misperceptions, I think, a couple of the misperceptions people have is that lifeguards can be watching everybody at all times.
Right.
And you have a crowded beach, you can't. You can do your best to just, like you said, sweep back and forth and scan the beach constantly, looking for things, looking for signs of people who may be in trouble, trying to keep order, trying to keep people from running on the piers and pushing and shoving and those kinds of things. But at a crowded beach setting, somebody can slip underwater very easily and very quietly and go undetected. So it's a huge responsibility for lifeguards.
My daughter was one. I know you guys provide fantastic training. Like we have, the Water Safety Patrol has the best training for lifeguards, you know, in around. And so our beaches and all of those public places where you guys place those lifeguards are super safe. But you're right. There's always something that can happen. And so it's just always best to be, like, the precautions, you know, be overly safe.
Yeah. And safe. Another misperception that I want to touch on is that if you go to the beach and there's a lifeguard there, there's sometimes this false sense of security that people get because there's a lifeguard there. I can read my magazine and let my kids just do whatever they want. You bring your kids to the beach, you are responsible for watching those kids individually. Just because there's a lifeguard there does not mean that you can just have your back to the water.
They're not babysitters.
Mm-hmm. And we get this too often at some of the bigger public beaches, especially. We've had cases where parents drop off young kids at the beach.
Stop it.
Let them out of the car and go down to the beach and they drive off. And that is just, you know, that's just something that's completely unacceptable.
Right.
And we need to get that point out there to people that the lifeguards are not babysitters. They're not there to just watch your kids. Mm-hmm. They're trying to watch everybody.
And our beaches are super busy, you know, and it's that way. This isn't just particular to Lake Geneva or Geneva Lake. This is particular, you know, we have Delavan. I mean, in our listening area, there are probably, it's not going to be hundreds, but it feels like hundreds of lakes in our listening
area. Yeah.
And I mean, so this is anywhere you go. Even if you live on a lake and your kids or grandkids are swimming off your own piers. I know I was telling you that my 11-year-old granddaughter, they were swimming off of our pier. The water might be, maybe on a good day, waist deep for her where our pier is. And she's, you know, why do I have to wear a life jacket? Well, because it's murky there. It's more muddy than sand kind of thing. It's like, and if your foot gets stuck and you can't, you know, you're trying to pull it out and you fall over.
Sorry.
And she's like, oh, I don't need a life jacket. Yeah, you do.
Kids don't want to wear them. But
yeah, I'm tall enough. Yeah. And so we had my grandson, Logan, though, we started making him because, you know, he's a boy and he's just like, he just vibrates all the time. Like, he's just moving all the time. And so I know you know the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And we have made him wear life jackets just to go outside at our house.
Yeah.
Because we're 30
feet near
from
the water.
Lake.
Sure.
Right. Just, we're not going in the water. The boat's not even in. It's, you know, it's March, but it's a nice day. Put your life jacket on because we just want him to know that he can't. Now, we don't do that so much anymore because he is getting ready to turn 7.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm old. Anyway, and so, but yeah, we started them out with making it their instinct to have it on and not feel comfortable without it. But so many people don't do that. And I just think that lakes are unpredictable. It's not a pool. You don't know what the current or all of those things are. Now, you said that the temperature We're not really worried about the temperature causing hypothermia or anything at this point here.
On Geneva, it's warmed up considerably over the last couple of weeks, and we've broken the 70-degree mark now on Geneva Lake. So hypothermia isn't quite as much of a concern as it was, say, over Memorial Day weekend when we had 90-degree temperatures outside, but the water temperature hadn't even hit 60 yet. Ugh. So.
What's the word for that? It's not refreshing. It's something.
Shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah. And you know, you talk a lot about kids, watching the kids, and it's very important. Adults get into trouble, too. One of the things we like to get the message out about is if you do notice somebody in the water struggling, say you're on a boat, and this has happened several times on Geneva Lake, somebody's swimming off of a boat, all of a sudden they start to struggle and they're having trouble. And we see it so often where somebody else in the boat immediately leaps into the water to go help. They just think, oh, I got to help this person. Right. They leap into the water and they go to help him. And all of a sudden now you might have two people drowning because the first one tried to latch on to that one. And
they're panicking.
We've had cases where it's the rescuer is the one who drowns and the original one survives.
Yeah. We just have that last year? With the kayak situation or something?
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
the woman made it to shore and the guy that went out to help or something didn't make it back.
Right.
Right.
So always, you know, if you're in a boat, somebody's looks like they're struggling like that, throw them something. You're required to have a throwable PFD on your boat. It's like a seat cushion. Mm-hmm. It's designed like a seat cushion for a reason, so that you're sitting on it, you know where it is right away. You don't have to hunt through the boat and dig up things in the cabin or wherever. You should be sitting on it so you know where it is right away. Throw it out to the person and let them grab onto it. Throw them anything you can that floats if you can't find one. Reach to them with a paddle or an oar. Throw a rope to them, something that they can grab onto.
A life jacket
floats. If you can.
Throw them a life jacket.
If, as a last resort, you do have to jump in, put a life jacket on first, grab that seat cushion, something that floats that you can hand out to that person. Because too often people, you know, they want to instinct, I have to jump in and help. You know, my friend is out there struggling. I have to jump in and help him. And they jump in and they don't take anything with them. And all of a sudden you have maybe a double tragedy on your hands.
Right. It's just, and that's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it and you're prepared and you have the things that the law requires you to have, everything will be hopefully good because it's there. It's at your fingertips. It's, you know, and if you have the life jacket, again, like you said, throw them something, but grab your own life jacket before you jump.
Yeah.
Like, this is the same thing as when the oxygen mask comes down in the airplane, put it on on you first because you can't save anybody else or help anybody else if you're, it's the same thing.
Right,
like,
exactly.
You know, I mean, Ted does stand at the end of the pier sometimes and says, if the oxygen mask dropped down and he does all the arm and the light, no, it's not like that. You don't do that anymore, do you?
No.
No, it was ineffective. No.
There was a Seinfeld episode about that, actually, if you remember. But we'll go into that another time.
But it's just, these are simple things that, you know, that you learn early in life. Yeah. But sometimes we just kind of say, hey, it's summer and we're not thinking. We're drinking.
Yeah.
You know.
If you are swimming from a boat, put a life jacket on before you go swim. You know, it's not a big deal. Put the life jacket on or at least hang on to it or something while you're out there swimming around the boat. You know, it's too many
people. Lake Geneva is deep.
It's very deep. You don't have to get out very far from shore in Geneva Lake to be over your head. And that's something unique to Geneva Lake that even Lake Michigan doesn't have. And even the ocean, if you go swimming in the ocean, you know, you see people that can go, you know,
quite
500 yards off of shore, and they're still it's still not over their head. It's chest high water, and a lot of people come to Geneva Lake for the first time might not be used to that, and they get out there and they walk a few feet out from shore. They're 20 feet away from shore, and all of a sudden it's over their head.
Oh my goodness!
And so it's
kind of
unique.
It's not a gradual. Yeah. It's just like, oh, we're in a hole.
Right. What are some of the signs if somebody is in trouble that have maybe have taken on water that they cannot yell?
That's an excellent point because you see on TV and the movies and stuff like that, you see people calling for help, shouting, you know, help, I need help. Often that is not the case with a drowning victim. It's often a silent thing. They're not able to speak.
Yeah.
They're in such a panic mode or they've taken in water that they cannot speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always going to be one of these situations where somebody's calling for help. You have to look for more subtle signs where they just kind of look like they're struggling. They're just having trouble. They might have a terrified look on their face, but they can't express it vocally.
Trying to splash.
So that's another challenge for lifeguards, is they have to watch for this stuff. Right. It's not necessarily a vocal thing. They might be struggling in the water. They're treading water, but they're not really doing it effectively, and their head is bobbing under the water and
stuff
like that.
So in that instance as well, if you do come across somebody that is in need like that, is that still a good situation where you throw them the life jacket?
Absolutely. Throw something, if you're on shore, if you're on a pier, find something that floats that you can throw to them. Reach to them with something, mm-hmm. Piece of a wood or a pier plank even, or an oar, anything. A rope. Right. They always teach this in lifeguard class. They say, reach, throw, row, go in that order. So you reach for something first. You throw them something. You row out to them. If you have to go out, you find something that a board or a canoe or something you can go out to them in. And the very last thing is to actually go into the water to try to rescue them.
I can't imagine trying to, I am in no way, shape, or form a strong enough swimmer to try and struggle. I would even be nervous about doing it with a life jacket on. With a life jacket on, obviously, I would, mm-hmm. but I would be, I know that they're just in such a panic, and they're mm-hmm. and they can't control what they're doing, and they're not going to calm down as much as you try and get them to, but your instinct is always to help, but you have to think clearly. You have to, But again, it's so much easier said than done.
Well,
that's why we have professionals.
We were at Safety Town the other day.
Yeah.
Talking to 4 and 5 year olds and talking to them about water safety this summer and getting them to raise their hands and tell me some of the things that they need to be careful about when they're near the water. And a lot of them brought up some of these things we're just talking about, mm-hmm. See, what are some rules you have when you're swimming or near the water? And, they'd be like, well, never swim by yourself. Always have a grown up with you. Wear a life jacket. All these things that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And they knew a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, the kids are the smartest people on the planet.
Yes.
Because they don't know that they can't do something until some big person tries to tell them they can't do something. So as far as they're concerned, they're just tell me, we're sponges. We'll do it. Right. We don't know that we're limited because we're five, mm-hmm. And so they're
going to be exploring. Kids are.
We try to get them to tell their parents, too, about
right,
this thing.
Right, right.
Okay, so you know all this now. You can
make
tell
sure
your parents when you're going in a boat, what are you going to say to your parents? They're like, we're going to tell them we need to put our life jackets on.
Which is, tell them Ted sent you. Oh, that's why the Water Safety Patrol's getting so many phone calls.
Yes, that's
the
it.
The kids are teaching the parents. Mm-hmm. But no, you're absolutely right. You might as well get them young. Like I said, that's why we started putting Logan in you could tell from a very young age he was going to be a rambunctious child, and he's just, and so, yeah.
If they grow up with that, that they're,
yeah, he doesn't, you know, have, he, does, he feels weird without it now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, he's, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, it may end up being a problem because he won't go without it. And you can sometimes, mm-hmm. so I don't know,
right.
but that's fine. Just let him, I don't care if he wears it till he's 30.
Sure,
we'll have to get another size, and it probably won't be Spider-Man, but it's working for now.
Batman.
But anything else? Is there anywhere people could go if they have questions about the Water Safety Patrol?
Well, they can go to our website. Yeah. We have rules and laws, rules of the water. WaterSafetyPatrol.org is our website, and we have links up to, the state regulations as well as local ordinances and things like that. They can always go there or call our office, too. So,
how about boat driving?
Well, we offer boat safety classes throughout the summer. We have three of them we're offering this summer. One of them is completed already, and we have two more coming up in July. People can also get information from that same website for those classes as well.
And they need to pre-register for that,
assuming? Yes,
yes.
What is the rule for underage kids driving?
Underage, well, you can actually be as young as 12 years old and operate a boat in Wisconsin if you have taken the boater safety class sanctioned by the Wisconsin DNR. They get a license or a certificate that they get after completing the class, and they can as young as 12. Now, I don't recommend that for most boats. I don't recommend that they take the class here. Here's the keys to the boat. Go ahead. You still need to have hours of one-on-one instruction with the person who owns that boat or who is familiar with operating it. Because every boat handles differently, mm-hmm. and then there's wave runners and things like that too. They're handled differently as well. So, you know, even with my own kids, sure, they took a boating safety class at 12, but they never were able to drive a boat until they were 15 without a parent on board, you know, so.
Right.
It's up to the parents to set those rules.
Mine are 31 and 32, and they're not allowed to drive the boat, right? I've seen them drive cars. They're not driving the boat. No. But, shoot, I was going to ask another question. I totally forgot what it was. What about kids sitting on laps of drivers? Boat drivers.
You mean, can they drive while they're sitting on the lap?
Like, you know, or? Grandpa's sitting there and the grandkids sitting on the lap.
Is it
with
safe?
Everybody's got the steering wheel.
Well, legally, it comes down to who's driving the boat.
Yeah.
You know, the obviously, the adult has to be the one driving and being in control of that boat. But.
You mean the six-year-old can't drive the boat? Not even sitting on Papa's lap?
Well, we do see it.
Don't worry.
It's common, but as long as that adult is the person actually doing the driving and in control.
Yeah. He just thinks he's in control, the six-year-old. Yes. I do remember what I was going to ask you. I grew up around a lake that when you had a water skier, we talk about this every time you're on, and I just can't fathom why we don't have this rule. If you have a water skier, you have to have the spotter and you have to have a flag. For if the water skier goes down, the person has to hold the flag up until the water skier gets back up. I don't understand why we don't have that rule. And I know we talk about it.
Well, it's actually moved in the opposite direction here in Wisconsin. They just passed a law this last spring that no longer requires a spotter for water skiers in the state of Wisconsin.
Why?
And instead, you have to have, in place of that, you have to have a wide angle mirror that you can watch as you're driving. We actually went to Madison and testified against this rule change. We were outvoted, however. So that is no longer a state law. However, on Geneva Lake, it is still law. It is a local ordinance on Geneva Lake. You still must have a spotter. We were able to keep that in the books.
Thank goodness.
On the books for Geneva. Geneva is the busiest lake in the entire state. So we were able to keep that on the books, at least for Geneva. But the rest of the state no longer has that law.
I don't understand.
Blows my mind that...
I just don't understand. Yeah. We had to have, you had to raise that flag and it had to be that bright hunter orange and all that stuff. And if your skier was down or your tuber was down or whatever, and then once you got them back up, you could lower the flag. I don't understand why we don't have that, because I can tell you that the lakes around here, this lake is a million times busier than than the lake we were on down south. And we had to do it down there. I just don't understand it. Would people know if I had a skier and
we do have people on Geneva who do use that orange flag and raise it. Not a lot, but we do have that. And, you know, I think a lot of people do understand what it's for, or at least it kind of makes them pay more attention when they see someone
doing
that.
Because they wonder what it's for at the very least.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's not a law. It was, it was heavily lobbied by the water ski industry and the wakeboard industry to do away with that. And
I don't understand.
They were able to pull it off.
I would have thought that they would have, for the protection of their own skiers, they would have wanted something like that.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
They saw it as a restriction, and they thought they could do a same type of a job with a mirror. So
unbelievable.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, stay safe. I mean, it's all about awareness of all of the situations around you, of the conditions. Right? And the people around you.
Yep.
And
we just told our staff, we're staring down the heart of the summer coming up here in the next couple of weeks, where, things are going to be at the absolute height as far as lake usage goes. And we really need to be on our toes. It's busy time of year on the lakes.
It is. And I don't know, maybe you want to address no partying. As far as for drinking and driving a boat, I'm sure that's...
Drinking and driving a boat is not allowed.
Right.
People are sometimes under the misunderstanding that is allowed. The reason they have that misunderstanding is because you can have alcohol on a boat. So people on a boat can be drinking. It's just the driver cannot.
Cannot. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So sometimes people think that
it just scares me that when you do see
driver,
people that are that do have that beer in their hand and they're behind the wheel.
Yeah.
It's scary situation when you see that.
Well, we have throughout the area, we have a lot of very reliable law enforcement who take very good care of those situations, as well as emergency situations, along with the Water Safety Patrol, of course, on Geneva Lake. And so I'm guessing that people are very aware that they're being monitored
in that fashion.
They're, putting on their safe hats and going out and having a good time without being dangerous. So, but we thank you guys, because I know that the weather this year, like you said, you're staring down the probably the next few busiest weeks, mm-hmm. and it's going to be even busier because the weather has not been, like, we're not going to be spreading out the visitors. They're almost like mm-hmm. compacted because
they've
had to be delayed.
Exactly.
And so we appreciate everything the Water Safety Patrol does. Don't you have a fundraiser coming up? Is it sold out
in August? It is sold out.
It is?
Really?
It is sold out, yes.
Sheesh.
Yeah, we have a waiting list going for it, but that's in August. Wow. Early August we have that.
Well, so. That's good.
Yes.
Because you guys are funded privately.
Yes, we are.
Not yep. taxpayers, not, you are totally funded privately to keep us safe on that lake, and that is a necessary component of our safety here in yeah. our community.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
Nope, no problem. Thank you for coming in, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
My pleasure.
Happy yeah. Father's Day.
Yep,
yes,
thanks.
Happy Father's Day thanks. For the rest of the day.
Yes.
You're listening to Life Matters. Coming up next,
Don't even get me started.
You want to stick around for that? No, you don't.
He's like,
probably not.
No. Yeah. a startled look.
He lives that every day.
Right?
You're listening to Life Matters right here on Lake 96.1. We'll be right back. And now for another edition of
Don't Even Get Me Started.
I think we started with Don't Even Get Me Started, didn't we?
I think we did already, but okay. there's a few things that we must discuss.
Yeah.
As long as it's Father's Day, let's talk about the Target card from, is it American Greetings, I think? American Greetings, and that they were stocking at Target that depicted, I think it was an African-American couple, and said on the front, baby daddy. And so they ended up pulling the card because some people thought it was highly offensive. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here. And we use that term. People use that term. And I think it's kind of funny. I thought it was funny. And I'm actually sad that they pulled it. Were you offended? Do you think that people should be offended by that card?
I couldn't care less. Here's the thing. I think that it's interesting that we're offended by a card that says that, but we're not offended by somebody calling somebody an effing C word. And I'll just leave it at that.
Right.
So I
point
think,
taken.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But... I didn't mean to
shut down that conversation.
I think it was humorous. I don't know what it said on the inside, but
people need to learn to take a joke for one. Mm-hmm. Just like when Trump said, "I could pardon myself." I think he's joking. People,
I think so too.
Like, get a sense of humor.
Right.
He's not like just everybody needs to take a notch off there. But I think that the, like I said, I think that it's interesting what.
What people are so offensive
and what doesn't offend us these days. And I don't know how baby daddy hurts anybody's feelings. Because you can be a baby daddy.
Yes.
And it's not, I mean, it's so I don't understand.
I don't either.
Whatever.
I don't either. So moving along.
Perhaps Target did it for a publicity stunt.
But it was with American Greetings as well. And somebody actually complained about it. So one person, I don't know.
Some people have too much
boom,
free time on their hands.
They ruined my card. I don't know who I was going to give it to, but. All right. So moving along. That was a joke, too. Please, so please do not get offended by that. Let's talk about something.
Start everything out with a disclaimer. Please don't.
But that is the name of the segment.
All
so
right.
Let's chat about this girl in Minnesota. She was at the Winstock Country Music Festival. She's 19 years old. Caitlin Strom was checking out a truck when she put her head in its oversized tailpipe and promptly got her head stuck inside the tailpipe, which it was a large tailpipe, obviously. But I don't know why she stuck her head in the tailpipe. Who would do that besides Caitlin Strom? Firefighters had to come. Caitlin Strom.
Because I think that her name deserves to be repeated several times.
Yes, Caitlin Strom.
Just because, you
know. From Minnesota.
And so, yeah, here's my thing, too, is that, you know, the authorities had to remove her head from
yes.
this exhaust pipe, which, you know, used valuable resources
right.
to remove an idiot from a tailpipe. So, didn't they?
Did she try it with a vacuum hose at first? I mean, wasn't the vacuum hose?
Idiot. Then didn't the story have the, like, the very last line of it say alcohol may have been involved?
Yes.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm. She was actually cited for underage drinking.
Was she cited for underage stupidity?
No, she should have been, though.
Like, who gets that drunk?
Like, I can't. What would your parent, what did her parents say?
Her parents. I didn't
what did
think
her
about
grandparents say, you know? Oh,
you're an idiot.
The 6 second video showing the firefighters had come to use a power saw to get her head out of there had gotten more than 2.4 million views last week. Just think, she's going to be known for that her whole life.
She's never going to get married. She's going to be known as tailpipe girl. Like, wait a minute. Yeah, she should change her name. She's never going to. Yeah. 2.4 million people know how stupid you are. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's just. What?
I know. I mean, I was fascinated with the vacuum, with the hose, little, when I, you know, because you just, like, sucks your skin when you're 4 or 5. But she's 19 years old. She's sticking her head in the tailpipe.
Well, anyway, she was drunk.
She was drunk. Don't do that. Don't do that at all.
So, I mean, I just, no, whatever.
Yeah. Did you hear about this man that he called? This guy is from Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
He called 911 to have his drugs tested.
Right. You know what? I think this guy sold me like some really bad meth. Can you come and check it out? And the cops are like, sure.
He had.
You know what? Yeah. And we're going to let you keep it and probably not take you to jail, sir.
He had a bad reaction after he smoked what he thought was meth. He thought he was sold another illegal substance, so he called 911 to see if the cops could test it.
Did they?
They hauled him off to jail.
You think? Like, how high do you have to be? Was he on the same stuff as Tailpipe Girl?
I don't know. It, like, did prove to be meth. But
you were wrong, sir. You were smoking the good stuff.
It was meth, and now you're coming with us, getting a nice ride down to the clink. To the slammer, so. But that happened in Florida. So we had Minnesota today and Florida.
I don't know what that means. How does a dispatcher take that call, too? Like, you got to...
Right.
You know, you got Godspeed to these men and women that answer the call in the first place, right? Because you're like, you what? Like, you...
911.
And then, you know, the communication between the police officers and the dispatchers when they dispatch you to a call, that's all recorded and everything. So I think that they have an unbelievable sense of self-control. Mm-hmm. Because when you put some of these calls out, like, you know, going to get the girl has her head stuck in a tailpipe. Do you know how many jokes, you know, can you go test this guy's meth
right.
to make sure that it's meth? Otherwise, he wants to lodge a consumer complaint against the drug dealer? I mean, do you know how much self-control it takes for the cops not to get back on the radio and go, you're kidding me. I am not doing that. No, we're not. She can get it out. Crisco. Like, no, we're not helping this.
Use Crisco.
Like, seriously.
Go to Walmart and buy all the Crisco.
You know, it comes in sprays now. Just spray it in there. You'll be fine.
It does. Yes.
So
yeah.
It's just
baking spray. Bam.
Squirrel. So, I mean, it's the self-control that they have to exhibit is just incredible to me. Even
right.
just from the start of the call, when they get that call on the radio, to actually arriving and seeing that they have to use the jaws of life to get a drunk chick out of a tailpipe. Like, I just don't.
I know. Exactly.
I'm a low tolerance.
And like
level
you said,
today.
Though, too, valuable time.
Right.
You know,
resources.
But I mean, she had to get her head out. I mean,
well, did they try to start the car? No.
Oh, can you imagine the headache she had after
blow
that?
Blow her out. No, it doesn't work that way. And yes, I have empathy for the chick that has the
oh my
problem.
Gosh.
We'll talk
yeah.
more about empathy next week, right? But, yeah, so
yeah,
don't even get me started.
I know.
And I don't need anybody to test my drugs. I'm sure that my probiotic is, in fact, a probiotic. I'm good. I'm so old.
And my vitamin D.
My vitamin D. So I can remember how to get to work every day.
Just my regular vitamin. Yeah.
I have decided I have been taking a gummy vitamin.
Have you? Oh.
Yes, because, you know, I'm a child.
So weird because we give those to our dog. he takes
so I'm taking a little the nervous. Same vitamin as Oscar, the fair dog.
Well, actually, no, it's melatonin, the gummy melatonin.
Oh,
we give that to him when storms roll through because he gets so anxious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but
maybe I should come hang out with Oscar.
Bring your gummy bears and your gummy vitamins.
Oscar, let's eat our candy.
Anyway.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We appreciate you and everybody who fills that role.
Absolutely.
In a child's life or an adult's life, even. So you are appreciated. We very much appreciate the men in our lives, even though we make fun of them all the time.
That's true.
They bring it on themselves.
Yeah.
But happy Father's Day anyway.
Happy Father's Day.
Be safe out there. Stay cool. Make sure you drink lots of water today. And listen to more music right here on your station for summer fun, Lake 96.1.